That's all my plan.
I don't have anything.
I was just saying the duty of these truths. Going back and something like
I think there is a problem
everybody
tonight.
is just.
It looked like there was a problem tonight. I think there was.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, that moment.
I'm not perfect.
Not maybe not quite there, but it's pretty close, right?
Yeah. Is there a phone booth tonight?
I think that was, I think, and you did.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we're good now.
Yeah. Is there a phone
movie? Yeah, that's right there, Saturday. So, are people going to
start it
here?
No, I think so.
Thursday, December 4th.
Yeah, so one to Sunday.
Yeah, we're really close. But it's
free.
Right, yeah, that's
I think it's
a one of
is it like
Osana?
I mean, it's
yeah,
right. Yeah,
I've
already
asked
him those names. I know there's some. But if you start saying, well, which is going to have a Osana too? We had the blood moves before. I mean,
because the pool would not have been overly decorated for the holidays of 1800, so that's my way of saying
old. I was going to say, what do you know? He looked it up.
Right.
Old
so,
moves.
The cold moves.
And then
cold.
Yeah, I know those. Emily must know that. That's a good trivia question. You should know.
That
those.
Is a good one.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to call to order the Newtown Borough Council work session of December 3rd, 2025. Please stand and join me for the pledge. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Okay, moving on to public to be heard. As a reminder, please state your name and whether or not you are a borough resident. Do we have any public to be heard? Okay, moving on. Michelle, engineer's report.
Thank you. I have nothing new to report for tonight, but I believe, was this changed? No, I believe Mr. Bestie is here as part of the authority to speak under my section of the agenda.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for fitting me in the agenda where you fit me in the agenda. welcome. So, and I do see you listed as a general update. Certainly glad to answer any questions. I'll start with the most specific update, which from our last meeting, where we voted to end the sewer project. So I'll just give you a quick little flavor of the actual vote. There was a motion to terminate plans to construct the wastewater treatment. These are the minutes of the meeting, so you'll see these. They're not out there yet. It will be. So that was the motion. So board member Mr. Gusty highlighted that an amended 537 plan was needed in order to pursue the erection of the wastewater treatment plant. He further stated that at the February 2025 board meeting, he voted to proceed with planning this project. However, after that meeting, the township issued a letter that they would not amend 537 without the authority having had a full opportunity to explore options and feasibility. Without an amended 537 plan, the authority would not be able to move forward. Mr. Gusty stated that he felt there were a lot of inaccuracies that were disseminated publicly. I might have missed something there, but that was the reason I voted in favor of it. Okay. Give you another flavor of the council rep on the sewer authority. Board member Mr. Walker stated that he believes the wastewater treatment plant is still a viable project and added that he feels we are ransoming the future and is concerned the decision to terminate the plan will haunt Newtown ratepayers in the future. He asked the February 14th letter from the township be included in the authority minutes. And that's it. So basically, we all voted to terminate. In the February meeting, the vote was 3-2 not to stop. The two that voted not to stop were myself and Bob. The three that voted to stop were the township reps. So basically, the township had a lot more opposition at their meetings. And to make a long story short, that's where we're at today. So that's the project is stopped. The most immediate thing to happen now is the disposition of the land. And we'll go about that through the rules and regulations that govern the initial taking of the land via eminent domain. And then there's rules and regulation that follow for disposing of it.
Does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. Thanks, Chris. The first is, what will be the effect on the ratepayer, on the rates that the residents will be paying now that the plant is no longer on the planning?
Well, I mean, we still see that, you know, as Bob said, we're in his comment, you know, we still see significant rates coming in the future. I mean, the Neshaminy Interceptor is the overflows of the Neshaminy Interceptor. It happened often. And 2 or 3 years ago, they said the amount of money required to fix that is $180 to $200 million. That was in 2023. The initial rate increase to cover what that had started only covered $60 million of that. So if, in fact, they need another, call it $150 million over some period of time, the big reason we wanted to break away and have our own destiny is so that we weren't part of that system.
Right.
We will have to pay our pro-rata share of that system as they spend money to fix that system. Mm-hmm. And therefore, there will be rate increases. How and when and how much, we don't know. We made a lot of assumptions when we were analyzing the plant that we could justify the plant just on the assumption of the previous 20 years of increases we got from Bucks County without the interceptor premium, if you want to call it that. So, you know, if Bucks continues to pass on the next 20 years, you'll see rates of about 6 to 10% a year, plus whatever prorated share we have of having to fix that Neshaminy Interceptor. So I don't really have an answer.
You know, the answer.
They're going to continue to grow.
Right. So the other piece of that is, I know that you're currently the amount of interest that you're paying on the mortgage on the land that you haven't disposed of yet is astronomical. It's what, $55,000 a month or something like that? Yeah. So if we're hopefully going to be able to sell the land back for somewhere in the vicinity of what you paid for it, that's the hope.
Mm-hmm.
Will that, I know that had been predicted a couple years ago when this whole idea of having the plan was presented to council and there was like this chart of how the things were going to go up.
Right.
Is that going to stall for a little while at least because presumably the mortgage doesn't have to be paid on this plant anymore?
Yeah, that won't be part of the rate increases. The future rate increases will be the rate increases from Bucks, the cost of materials as they go up for the projects we're doing, and any premium from the Neshaminy Interceptor. So, you know, there won't be any rate increases associated with the plant or the interest once the interest goes away or the principal.
And one more question.
Yeah, no.
And that'll be done. No,
that's fine.
The question of EDUs. So I know one of the other reason that it would be of help to have our own plant, presumably in the beginning, was that we would have more control over the number of EDUs, I assume. But so now where we are, and with the possibility of that land being sold back to be developed, are there EDUs for that land? And what does that mean about what EDUs would be available for the borough?
Yeah, the EDU question is a hard one to answer, and I'll be probably directionally correct. But the bottom line is there are no EDUs for anybody in the entire Bucks County Water and Sewer System. Your engineer probably knows more about EDUs than I do, but effectively there are no EDUs right now today for anywhere. So if anyone wants to develop anything, they have to go through the process, which, you know, depends on what you're, if you're talking about development, that's multi-housing, things like that, then there's a process. I believe the process starts with either the township or borough council, and then their engineers, and then they have to get added to the NICMP, the Connection Management Program. Once they're added, then it's between DEP and Bucks County Water and Sewer as to whether or not they're granted. So, you know, it depends, basically. What we're doing, the biggest thing that we have going forward that we haven't had is we have a very aggressive budget to spend to reduce INI. Now, logically speaking, at least to me, this isn't the authority's position or anything else, but if you reduce INI, you should be eligible for EDUs because INI is what causes the overflow,
right.
Okay? But that's not how government and BEP and Bucks and all that are necessarily going to look at it. But our goal is to make our system, our goal is always to have the best system at the lowest rate. Now we have a very aggressive I&I, I guess, identification and repair budget. We're spending about $1.5 million a year towards that. So as we show, part of the granting, again, the engineer could help me out here, part of the granting of the EDUs is showing what you're doing to reduce I&I. So as we, as an authority, show, whether it's DEP, ultimately, I believe, and I could be wrong, the county has the final say. But the county can't override DEP, so DEP has to be satisfied too. So it's a long way of saying, you know, as an authority, we're trying to reduce I&I, and, you know, we don't have anything to do with whether or not EDUs are granted, but, you know, we can reduce our I&I, and if that can help someone get EDUs, it's better than the opposite.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
That's all pretty much very accurate.
Yes.
The, as long as the authority keeps working on their I&I, then Bucks County and DEP will allow more EDUs to be released.
Could you explain I&I just a little bit?
Sure. It's inflow and infiltration. There's a certain percentage of sewage that gets introduced into your collection system. Inflow is from direct sources, such as if you have a stream going right into it. Infiltration is what's coming into the system through the joints in the pipe, so underground.
Gotcha. So Chris, that I&I project, that we get credit for that, or the authority gets credit for that, but then does DEP just... Are they able to look at the Newtown Sewer Authority in terms of granting EDUs, or do they look at it? Well, that's great that Newtown Sewer Authority has a wonderful set of pipes, right? But the system is taking on water and doesn't work. So, but they would still consider giving granting EDUs here.
Again, I defer. Let me just comment first and tell me if I'm right or wrong. The entire system doesn't have EDUs right now, so it's not directed. But that doesn't mean you can't get them. my opinion is it will help. And if you're on a system, you know, we always felt like we had a better system than anybody else. The Bucks County Water and Sewer System, there's 13 municipalities. 11 of them are owned by Bucks. So they own, you know, the system. They don't, obviously, they don't own us.
And who's the other one that is?
I believe it's Northampton. So that's why we wanted to break away, because we don't have any control. We believe our system's already good, and now we're putting more money to make it better. Now, whether or not, we really don't have good quantifiable evidence to prove that, other than, you know, a lot of it's newer, you know, we really can't hang our hat on that, but we always felt that way, which was another reason to break away from them. But the long answer to your question is, it ultimately depends on DPP and Bucks. And again, I would defer to Josh.
That's pretty accurate. Back when the Connection Action Plan, CAP, and Connection Management Plan was enacted by DEP and pretty much said there's not going to be any more connections, they said you have to come up with these plans in order to get connections. The first part of that plan was that municipalities or authorities have to submit an Act 537 plan and revise their 537 plan, which said, where is your sewage going? Which parts of your township are going to have on-lot systems? And you had to prove that there was enough capacity to allow those connections. So more than 10 years ago, the township and the borough had to come up with how many EDUs in each of the next 5 years they were planning to connect to their system and show that there was connection. The 537 plan, once you submitted a 537 plan, some of those EDUs were released. If it was adopted, I believe there was another set of EDUs, number of EDUs that were released. As Mr. Gusty said, The next part of that was that you had to come up with, once that was approved, you had to come up with an I&I plan. One of the, not problems, but things with the Newtown Bucks County Joint Municipal Authority is that they were doing I&I for years, I&I abatement. For years, it was always part of their problem. They were always spending money on that, which is great for them. Except that there were municipalities down county that weren't doing anything. So Newtown was doing all this work and not really getting any credit for that work. So they had reduced a lot of it. But when this CAP and CMP came up, they said they had to reduce more. And then I believe they put more of a restriction on the authority, saying, well, now you have to prove to us that you're reducing the flow. And I believe that all of the different pump stations that outlet from the borough and the township are not all metered. So it was hard for them to determine whether or not how much their I&I problem was working. At that, I might have.
Yeah, and I can be a little gray around that too, but I will say the way we're measuring I&I in the borough is with meters. So
it must have been the township.
We just went out and had to buy them. The township we have, well, and this company may be managed, but the township we have a company that goes out, and the technology now is really good where they can identify these things and repair them in line mm-hmm. with this. The grout apparently, is obviously, but like everything, it's a higher technology and everything else. So they have, they're identifying and repairing out there in the borough. We're in the process of basically trying to identify using these meters.
So if you want to keep talking about this, I can.
Yeah.
So grout, they identify where the leaks are coming in, where the inflow and infiltration is coming in. It's coming in either through your pipes, or it's coming in through your manholes, and you go out in a rainy day and see where this stuff is happening. Then there are these companies that inject grout, inject a system into the holes, into those crevices, in manholes, and in the pipes to stop that leakage from happening.
I know you can talk. I still remember my first day as president.
That's
first,
right.
The first official presidential phone call I got was Michelle saying, I need to talk to you about sewage. And I was like, that's true. Interesting.
I'll give you one more comment, not to be that, but the other thing about that, you repair these things and they're supposed to last like 5 to 7 years. Well, when you come back and look at it, it's probably still okay. It's probably still intact, but there's additional leaks that now have to be fixed. So it's a never ending process. It's fixed and will be good for the next 20 years.
And they have to decide whether they're going to do a grouting program or something called like slip lining, where they go in and line the pipe so that you don't have to use grout, but that's much more expensive to do, but it lasts longer.
Well, thank you very much. That was very helpful.
Just went on a completely different subject. Three from the township, three from the borough, right?
Yeah.
You need a majority of those present to pass it. So in the event of a tie, you can't, nothing happens.
In the event of a tie, motion doesn't carry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the February meeting where we voted to stop work, there was only two of us present from the borough. Yeah. That the vote was here. But yeah, there is no tiebreaker.
Any other additional questions?
I have one. Has the land been offered back?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Any news on?
There is no, that's going to be a process where pretty much every answer will come from our solicitor.
Oh.
But I can tell you there's no news on it because it was offered back like 3 days ago.
Oh.
So, might not have been exactly that for Thanksgiving, but it was as a result of the vote at our meeting to cancel the project.
Mm-hmm.
And then that process now starts. There will be, anything shared will be in the minutes with respect to the land.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is anything significant that develops that, we know ahead of time, we'll certainly let you know.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much for coming, Chris.
Thank you. Thanks
appreciate
for
it.
Allowing me to go first.
Okay. Are there any questions for Michelle on the report she submitted? Okay.
Thank you.
You must want to tell us about sewage.
I could go on all night.
I'm very excited.
Is stormwater better? Can we talk about stormwater?
Are we flipping Monday, Wednesday, Friday by last minute? Or
okay, nobody listens to that.
Moving on, John is not with us, so I will just read these special event reminders. The tree lighting sponsored by the Newtown Experian is this Friday, December 5th, from 6:30 to 8:30 at the Newtown Fire Association on Liberty Street. There is no rain date. And then this Sunday, the Newtown Holiday Parade, sponsored by the Newtown Business Association, is this Sunday, December 7th, along a designated route. I believe they're starting at noon in the township, and they'll kick off from Stopping Works at 12:30. Okay, Greg, Solicitor's report.
Just realized that we have not yet submitted our monthly report. We will upload that as soon as possible to share file in case there are any questions. I do apologize for that delay. The first item underneath our report is the Zoning Hearing Board cases. It's been a while since we've had one, but we decided it was going to be council's practice for me to bring these to you at the workshop meeting so you consider them. We could take a formal vote at the business meeting in advance of the ZHB meeting in case council elects to participate in these hearings. For this month, there are two on the Zoning Hearing Board agenda, which is the 18th, which is actually the day after our business meeting. The first is for 110 North Lincoln. They are requesting a variance to permit a 54-inch high fence in the front yard where 48 inches is permitted. So it's a 6-inch variance to in the front yard. Are there any questions or comments from someone?
Isn't it already in?
It's been up for months.
Sometimes I don't know the history of this. I actually don't have the full applications in front of me. I just have the notice from the Zoning Hearing Board solicitor, but it wouldn't be it's happened before where someone does something and then the borough notices and then they're requested to go to the Zoning Hearing Board for permission to get the variance to leave it in that condition or to make a change.
Yeah, well, there was a comment on the application from the applicant saying that the contractor said he got all his permits.
Mm.
Would that have had to have gone to HARB?
It would have had to gone to HARB too.
Yeah.
It missed both of those. Checked, right? Yeah. No
application. Yeah, correct.
It sounds like they're trying to, I guess, at least attempting to make it right, but I don't know if anybody has a
yes. Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
I thought, oh no, you know what? I think I'm doing looking at the wrong one.
Okay.
I'm looking at you. Yeah. Sorry.
So. No one else is saying anything. I'm familiar with the fence and location, and I think it is objectionable. They have it literally right up against the sidewalk, and for them to have exceeded the height limitation just makes it that much worse. So from that perspective, and the 54 inches, is that just for the front? That's just for the front yard. You can have higher.
Correct.
It has to be flush. Anything in front of flush with the house is 4 feet or less.
So from my perspective, we should be upholding the borough ordinances. And this is an again, just like somebody ripping out a window or that they shouldn't have ripped out. It's unfortunate for the homeowner, but from my perspective, it's something that we should try to ensure is enforced.
So I guess the question is, would you want the solicitor's office to affirmatively attend the ZHB hearing and actively oppose, or would you want us to submit a letter that the township is opposed to any grant of variance. It depends on what level of participation council wants to authorize.
So the other piece of that is for the second zoning hearing board application on the
okay.
same night, we definitely need to send you. So you might as well be there for both.
So right. I so, say I agree with Chris in terms of allowing a higher fence in the front is not a can of worms we want to open, especially given the increasing deer problem. Everyone's going to want a tall fence in front of their house to keep the deer out. I can recall at least one other time that I was on council that someone came and asked for a fence higher, and it was, we sent opposition. So I'm a letter would have been fine for me, but if you have to go anyway.
Well, let's talk about the other one, which is 417 East Center, which I sounds like we have some opinions on. This is the applicant is seeking to tear down an existing two-story single-family dwelling and replace it with a new two-story single-family dwelling with a separate in-law suite in the rear yard. So I guess essentially an ADU. They're asking for three variances. The first is to permit a new detached structure for use as a residential conversion where no new building additions. That's for the additional unit in the rear. A variance to permit the attached garage to count as required parking where two off-street parking spaces need to be provided for each new dwelling unit. So they need to have all-weather spots outside of a garage under our ordinance for each dwelling unit. And then the last is they're asking for a variance from the maximum building coverage ratio. They're proposing 31.5%, where 30% is the limit. I'm sorry, there is a fourth. And the fourth is to reduce the required rear yard setback from 25 feet to 15 feet. Like I said, I don't have the full application in front of me. I don't know if that's relative to the main building or the accessory dwelling unit. That would have been my assumption, but 15 feet from the property line as opposed to 25.
Yeah. It's the rear. So this they're asking for all kinds of things that are a violation of our zoning ordinance. We need to send our solicitor to support our zoning ordinance. You can't have a residential conversion of a non-existing structure, for one, and you can't have a residential conversion of any structure that is newer than I think 1980 something or other, and then all of these other pieces obviously trying to squeeze something into a lot that will not accommodate it. So
I will say I think that the issue comes down, just so you're aware, the issue comes down to on this application is the actual accessory dwelling unit pushes them to the setback issue, the conversion issue, and
parking.
Probably the parking issue as well. It's feasible, just so council's aware that they revise their plan when they know we're opposing and have it be an attached structure and it could solve. So I'm just, that probably would be acceptable if they figure out a way to consolidate it fully, but we can also talk about that.
Well, that's
well.
A question. If it's not a twin, where is the definition of a two family dwelling? On this property, and you can't. Well, obviously they're building a new, so it's not conversion at
it's
all.
Not conversion, fair.
Right? So you can't call it conversion. So I don't want to get into all the nitty gritty of the zoning ordinance, but as presented, we need to send you.
Okay.
You know, let me just editorialize a little bit. You know, I know that we have a certain amount of concern in the borough with respect to tear downs and the new homes on steroids being built. Right now, if they comply with ordinance, right, they comply with ordinance. But one thing we wouldn't want to do is certainly bend the rules to continue to support exactly that thing that there's so much concern about. So I think it's important that we do make our presence known and state our position.
Is that we don't need a full motion for this because it's litigation, but is that the consensus of council that we'll attend? Okay.
You're going to need a couple weeks to prepare for this, right?
I typically reach out to the applicant to let them know that we're opposing and if they need to changes, whether they obtain their own legal counsel, if they don't have it already or anything like that, we'll see how that goes. But so I think I appreciate the advance notice, and of course your residents do as well. So, okay, DHB cases. The next one is the fire services agreement. think all council is aware this has been an ongoing issue. The last communication we had from the township was a letter we received from their solicitor after they voted stating that their offer to continue the agreement on a one-year term was for $350,000, which was not where the negotiating team from council had left the agreement with the township team, which was at $275,000. So we would need to respond to that and basically go back to the township and say we would be comfortable with a one-year agreement at the $275,000 number. If that's what council would like me to do, I would ask for a motion tonight. It is on the agenda, so we can vote on it. A motion tonight to authorize me to send a letter back to the township that we would be willing to enter into a one-year agreement with them for $275,000 for fire services.
Do we anticipate that that's going to get a fair consideration, that number at this point?
It is possible. I don't know if I can give you anything more than that.
I'll make that motion.
So, well, let's run a second, then we can discuss.
Okay, make a motion.
Make a motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, just thinking about what may be a way to get this over the finish line, right? We don't think that the $350,000 is an appropriate or reasonable number. We do think that $275,000 is, and I think that we have some basis for that, right, based upon the research that we did. And so that's for 1 year, but ultimately we're going to be agreeing to a formula that beyond that 1 year, we're going to be up against the same issue next year, but presumably by that time they will have gone through their process of evaluating methodology, right, for how much borough versus the township should pay. Well, my suggestion is for your consideration is whether or not we should. It's kind of like what I had suggested on one other issue before, whether we should offer to make any increase in future agreements retroactive to this one, to this year. In other words, let's say next year, whatever formula we ultimately agree to, it's going to be $300,000 a year. So whatever number we pay next year, we would retroactively pay the difference this year.
Can I suggest we don't want to have that conversation?
That's not, we're not agreeing on any language. We're just trying to agree on a number to go back to them with so that they can prepare the language, at which point we will dive into these more considerations.
And we've had good faith negotiations to arrive at this number, and this number is the threshold of which we've been verbally agreed upon by their negotiators. So I think in good faith, we should take this number back and stick to it.
Thank you.
Okay, any public comment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. That's all I have.
I do have one question for you.
Yes.
So Craig had shared with us the information from the PSAB about the latest court decisions regarding the Sunshine Act and agendas. Can you explain that?
We can, and we're actually going to provide the borough with a memorandum, I think by the end of this week, outlining the considerations for that. Under the Sunshine Act, there are four exceptions that allow the borough to modify its agenda after the 24-hour period. There was a previous court case from the Commonwealth Court that read them as you need to check all the boxes in order to modify the agenda. And the Supreme Court has now ruled that was essentially a rewriting of the Sunshine Act and the intention of the legislature when the Commonwealth Court issued that opinion and relaxed those restrictions that It still has to be emergent. It needs to be something that needs to be decided on the next agenda and something that has come up within the applicable period, but it doesn't have to perfectly fit all four criteria. It can just meet general criteria. So we will provide that. I'll get that in share file as soon as it's ready. We just wanted to make sure we there's been a lot of summaries that have gone out. PSBA has PSATs has also issued one. We just wanted to go through the case ourselves, make sure we agreed with those summaries, the language of there that is contained in there, and provide our own interpretation for you.
Thanks.
Sure.
All right. Any more questions for Greg? Okay, Craig, moving on to the management report.
Okay, thanks. I do have one item. I introduced it briefly at a meeting or two ago regarding the request by Comcast, which I've been working just myself back and forth with them on what might be an easement to put a, sounds like they want to just bury a cable across the entrance to the parking lot. So if you take in your mind, come into the borough over the Center Street Bridge, you can turn left there into the municipal lot behind the bank, right there at that egress that enters the mouth of the parking lot. They would bury some sort of cable that they want to have a utility line under. It's kind of unusual. It sounds normal, like a normal thing, but it's not because it's on municipal property. Typically, those things are on wires, or if they're underground, they're a utility. This is essentially a private.
Yeah, they can't fit it within the right way.
There is no, you mean into the street right away?
Yeah.
Well, it would sort of be the same thing if they wanted to do that, because it's still municipal property, whether it's the parking lot or the street.
The street's a state right now.
Center is right there?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. They would have to go to the state for that then, and the state would.
Probably why they're coming to us.
What are they going to use it for? What's the private? Is it just like going into?
It's a cable. It's a
fiber optic
or something.
So the benefit to the borough is that our residents can have faster Comcast.
I don't know. There's no. I don't know what it is.
Where's it connecting to on your side? Yeah, that's the question.
Yeah, I don't know why they have to go underground there and not above ground, but maybe it's something into the bank itself that they are, need an underground line to go into the bank.
And I mean, I brought this up before, but if this is something we are interested in exploring, I'd like to get a benefit out of it. I'd like to know, I'd like them to identify all of the poles, the leftover poles in town that are theirs, and remove all the wires that aren't being used and the poles if they want this. I'm not inclined to agree to it otherwise.
Sure, that's helpful. That's what I want, is just to respond. They've made the request. We worked back and forth on some things. For example, if we wanted to build there or use it, what would happen? And they would have the opportunity to relocate it with 180 days notice, things like that, contemplating if it were agreeable to the group. But otherwise, it sounds like there may be some interest in not allowing it or responding for things like the pole, anything else like that.
Any of their loose wires? I mean, we have identified that as a big problem around town.
So the pole also, if there's have they explored putting it in the street and into the state road, right? Mm-hmm.
So it's so unclear, because I know where they want to put it, but like, where's it coming from and where's it going to?
Doesn't seem to make any sense.
Yeah, like if you're going under the driveway, they got to come up somewhere, right?
If they're going into the bank.
Yeah.
They're going into the creek.
I think it is. I think it is, isn't it? It's coming from the pole underground into the bank.
It does not resurface after the bank. It may go to a mystery place. They can do boring from there.
Yeah.
They could go somewhere else, but I guess boring's an option too, to But no, that would still be on there. It's not good.
And obviously,
but anyway, it comes off of a pole. There is a pole.
So it's coming down from a pole. It's going under the driveway and presumably into the bank.
And then dead end somewhere where it continues or meets up with something else.
Yeah, from the little sketch that Craig shared with me, that's what it looked like.
I was going to say, just we would obviously review any documents or even prepare them, but you know, I'd also want to make sure that we have provision in there that any disturbance would be fully repaired back to our specifications, et cetera, so that they're not, you know, just like a trench and then a bump every time maybe someone's leaving the parking lot. We don't know. We'd have all those provisions in whatever he's been back. Should you so choose to pursue?
I like Emily's recommendations that I... Coupled with this, can we charge them like some kind of rate annually for the easement?
They've got the money, right? Well, more importantly, get rid of all the old stuff that's not being used.
Yeah, right.
I mean, everybody's house has like a gazillion wires.
I don't think the poles. The poles is a reasonable request because somewhere on there, the list we're on the list to have those poles removed and. So just bumped up.
It would only be if they're their poles and their wires.
Oh.
Or their wires on the poles.
On the poles, right.
Yeah.
And just the wires alone would be a big help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks, Craig. Anything else?
That is all. And unless there's any questions on my report or any other items,
great.
Business.
Thank you. Moving on to President's report. I'm going to start that by just announcing that council met in executive session prior to this work session to discuss personnel. And then the only other thing I wanted to bring up is I think I mentioned, you know, in passing, but I have been in received an email from Amy Smith talking about Market Day next year already. They're already starting to solicit sponsors, food trucks, that kind of thing. And so I'd like to bring back to the table discussing exemptions for special events for the food truck ordinance at the discretion of council. So what I'm going to do is go back through all the old drafts and find the original one had language such as that, and then circulate it, and we can discuss in the January cycle. But that's something that they're already worried about. And it went well this year. I didn't see any issues. I didn't hear of any issues. So just that's going to be coming up the pit again.
Do we have an idea of how they were not compliant? Or I knew we made a special exception for this event that they had for Market Day, but do we have any idea about how far outside of the realm of our ordinance they were in terms of...
Well, we didn't make an exception. We approved the event before the food truck ordinance was approved. So
Right.
So they had more than the allotted number of food trucks.
Do we know like by how many or...
I think by like six, they had 10-ish. They had tents and they had...
We might need to tighten up our definition of food truck.
Yeah.
So that it isn't like a table with cookies on it, which I think they were interpreting
that way.
And we weren't intending that. So
I think that they may have interpreted that in our definition as fine, but I think maybe it would be helpful for council if the Market Day people let us know what they had this past year and give us some their information on their food vendors so that you can have that in front of you as you, because it's a pretty good gauge for especially them.
They had a coffee, they had a...
But then they had that tent where they were making donuts in the tent. Like food was being made under a tent in the parking lot next to the NHA building. So again,
truck or cart, but we can, if they let us know what they had, we can certainly take a look at that.
So anyway, that's going to be coming in January, just a heads up. Okay, moving on to reviewing agenda items proposed for the December 17th, 2025 council meeting. The first one is the adoption of the 2026 budget. As everyone's aware, we voted last month to advertise. It has been advertised and will continue to be advertised until that meeting, at which point we will vote to adopt, and the public has had any chance between our last meeting and then and at that meeting as well to ask questions, voice concerns, et cetera. Then any questions on that? Okay, the next thing is adopting ordinance 807, setting the 2026 real estate tax millage, which again goes hand in hand with the budget. We already talked about raising millage 5%, 3 for fire services, a quarter for EMS, and 1.75 for the general fund. Any questions on that? And then the next one is the fire code in the borough. Greg, do you want to, or Craig, do you want to take that one? Those the last two.
I think the headline on that, while there's some housekeeping organizing within the budget, it's changing the code that is enforced from a 2015 version to a 2022 version.
If they were 2018 to 2021. Okay. It's the model, the universal codes, the international fire code are updated every 3 years. We voted to advertise it.
Oh, okay.
Right. And then there's certain local tweaks that you're permitted to make. And this would put us in line with what the fire marshal is enforcing. And we would be lined up with the township. So it would be uniform across the municipalities.
Okay, thank you. Better than I could explain. And then, Craig, I know you're going to take this one because we already talked about it.
The fee schedule. So I think typically every year, or not, the municipality reviews and updates the fees that it charges for various services. And I have not looked at that myself. I will circulate something tomorrow. There's nothing that says we have to do this at the end of the year, but I think it's a good time just to keep it in the same cycle.
I don't know that the years I've been on council, we've done a deep dive into it and raised what we need to. I don't recall that.
Okay.
That so I think it's
okay.
It's happened every couple years. Major changes.
Well, I mean, I don't recall since I've been on council major changes happening. Small things here and there being added or changed. Or,
well, there was
the stormwater thing.
The stormwater. Yeah. And there were a couple years.
But like looking at how much we charge for building permits and that kind of like the bigger picture stuff, I don't think has been looked at in a good number of years. Yeah.
So it's a large document. There's many, many fees. And so I will be looking through that. I will also circulate it and ask you guys to take a look. And if anything feels or seems reasonable or unreasonable, let me know. That may or may not be ready for the next meeting, but we'll try and keep it close to this calendar year for updating.
It's a resolution. It can only be adopted at any meeting, including reorg. In January, and I think we amended it three times this year alone.
We did,
maybe four.
Yeah.
With food trucks, chicken coops, the stormwater, and those different permit fees. So there's no requirement for it to us at any particular time. You do it many times as you want.
Okay. Any more questions on that? Okay, Gina. Moving on to personnel/committees of council.
The current vacancies we have: Civil Service Commission with Heather's resigning as recording secretary. We have that opening. We do have an application in for that. It's been a paid position in the past. It doesn't have to be a paid position. So we could offer to the Civil Service Commission that if they choose to, they could hire the new applicant, or they could just have one of their members take on the role of recording secretary at no cost. And I think we could potentially leave it up to them what they want to do with that. Human Relations Commission, and we still have three members, an opening for three members on that. I've sent out emails to all members of the other various committees whose terms are expiring at the end of this year. I've heard back from about four or five of them, all saying they would like to re-up. Some applications have come in. I will forward those along, and I'll just keep following up with them in the next couple of weeks. I gave them a deadline of December 15th to get back to me.
Great.
So I think that's going well.
Great, thank you so much. Okay, any old business? Any announcements? Any public to be heard? Okay, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
That was tight. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your week.
If he did it, I don't know that
you have a good Thanksgiving
council.
Yeah.
So.